Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Nate Klarfeld from Fort Lauderdale. I'm having a little bit of trouble getting people here. Can you hear me, Eric? Tony or Lionel? Are you there? Tony or Lionel, are you there? Come on. Oops, I dropped him. I'm having some trouble with Blog Talk Radio tonight, so let me try the other number and see if that's working better. They were having some trouble with their phones. I'm having trouble with my board tonight. Hey, it's part of life. No, I don't think that's going to work either. Okay, let me try this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You reached an unassigned extension at Guardian Life Insurance.
That's not it.
Please check the number and try your calling.
Oops, getting rid of them. Okay.
You reached an unassigned extension at Guardian Life Insurance. Please check the number and try your call again. You reached an unassigned extension at Guardian Life Insurance. Please check the number and try your call again. Hey, Lionel, we did it.
Oh, well done. Is that Nate, is it?
It is Nate. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How are you tonight?
And what a rocky road it was getting here.
It was for both of us, but we made it. Listen, this is how we do it. You know, we just keep pushing buttons until something happens, right?
Thank you, Tony. No wonder there are wars in the world when people can't even reach each other by phone.
They can't. It's ridiculous, but we're all on now. It's great. Listen, why don't you introduce yourself, you and your partner? Are you both there?
Yeah, we're both here, yeah.
Go ahead and tell us your names and what you do.
Good. We were wondering quite what you're going to ask us. We're a little nervous over here because
don't be nervous.
We're not so well known in Australia as we are. We're better known overseas as arts reviewers. Tony Shepherd, that's my partner, and I'm Lionel Curtis. We operate under the name The Opera Boys, and we have a website. So our job in life, I guess, is to go out to all the top shows in town and usually the best seats in the house that the companies give us, and we go to the opening night parties and then go back home and next day write a review, and their professional photographers send us all of the top quality photos to put up on our reviews on our website.
That sounds like a really hard job. Get dressed every night, have champagne, sit in great seats,
mm-hmm.
see beautiful people doing wonderful, exciting things, and then you get to talk about it the next day.
It's a hard life, but someone's got to do it.
Oh, my God, I can't believe that. That is amazing. So how did you get started with the name Opera Boys? I absolutely love your website name, theoperaboys.com. That was a plug. Do you
won't believe how you will not believe how we got the name. We'd been out to see a local opera company, and at that time we had a radio program on the ABC here, which is kind of like your ABC in the US. We would phone in, a little bit hungover most times, on a Sunday morning, and do a five-minute spot of where we'd been and which parties we'd been to and who we'd been drinking with and also the show. So, anyway, we were out at this opera this night, and it was during the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And on our way back from the opera, it finished at about 9:30 because it had children in it. Mm-hmm. So there's a hotel here called Young and Jackson's, which is opposite that big, you've probably seen it in America, that big railway station, the yellowy-looking one in Flinders Street there.
Yes.
Across the road from there. So Tony and I were all in our tuxedos. So we stumbled inside and got up to the lounge, and there was a comedy show on. And there was only one table left in the room. So arrogantly, we stepped our way across the room while everyone was, drinking and whatever, sat at the table, little realizing that they'd set the table up for latecomers like us. And every comedian that came on made fun of us for the whole night.
Oh, you were in the hecklers, or the booth where everybody laughs at people. Well, of course, you were in tuxedos, too.
Yeah, we were way overdressed for a comedy club crowd, and we'd had a few champagnes at the party. So we thought we'd swan in with, what luck, at a table right beside the stage. unfortunately, from then on, and they named us the Opera Boys.
Oh, the comedians did.
The comedians, they came on, each comedian saying, what are the opera boys drinking now? Oh, a Chardonnay or a champagne? So every one of them that came on and did their thing had a go at us, and we thought, well, we're trapped here, we'll just sit through it. And so that's where the name came from. So we came home after we stayed for the whole show, got back home, and Tony said, I might Google that and see if anyone got it, and nobody had the name, so we registered with a dot on the address.
That's wonderful. That's a great story. How long ago was that?
Oh, gee. How long ago was that, Tony, that we did that, Tony? 7 years? About 7 years ago.
Put Tony on. You've been talking long enough. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Help me talk to Tony.
Oh, hi, mate. How are you going?
Hey, Tony. Welcome to the show. This is a riot. Okay, so you've been on all these years. You're fabulously famous down under. I hate to say that term and be very trite, but you're fabulously famous down in Australia. I heard about you through my surfing and flying around. You have 300,000 followers worldwide in 93 countries. Is that right? Something like that?
About 140 countries, yeah.
140 countries. I read your Google thing wrong. Sorry, because you got a little... That's okay. I Googled you boys and found all sorts of things about you. Okay, so 140 countries, 300,000 people. What's it with opera? Why are people so crazy about opera hundreds of years later? Tell me.
Probably because it incorporates all the different types of arts. Every single form of art is in opera. You've got... some of them have got dance, and they've got music, and they've got singing, and fantastic sets, and costumes, and lighting, and special effects, and projections, and they keep on reinventing a lot of the old operas too, and resetting them.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
There's a really good example, actually, the Opera Australia Aida that they did last year, which was quite amazing. It was incredible. They had really vivid projections.
Uh-huh.
And all the actors were in side silhouette and on a conveyor belt. And it looked like those paintings that they have in the tombs, in the Tutankhamun-type tombs. They're quite incredible.
That is amazing.
Really vivid colours, really vivid oranges and gold and everything else. It was the most amazing Aida I think I've ever seen.
You mean those little Egyptian paintings that you see on the sides of the pyramids and on stuff? So they were like marching on their conveyor belts, and they were doing their singing and dancing on the conveyor belts? Something like that?
Yes, in one of the scenes. It was quite incredible.
Sounds amazing.
The projections were so vivid and Uh-huh. The music's fantastic for Aida.
The music is it. I love Aida. I love Aida. And what is it with gay men and opera? Tell me. Because I'm with the Stonewall Library and Archives, the nation's largest gay and lesbian library here. Our opera group is so huge that we are afraid the fire department's going to come shut us down for too many people in the room.
Really? That's fantastic.
It is amazing. But what is it with gay men and opera? Do you know? Do you have any idea? Is it one of those things that we'll never understand?
Oh, probably because it's stylish and gay people usually feel it's stylish, whereas straight people usually aren't.
Well, I always thought it was we like make-believe.
Yes, that's right. And if you took the gays and Jews out of Broadway, there wouldn't be any shows at all, I don't think.
Right, you've seen in Patrick Harris' opening of the Tonys that you know, it's not for just gays and Jews. But, you know, it's true because, you know, Jews kind of live in a make-believe world because they're such a minority, but they're visible. You know, they look like regular people, and gays most of the time look like regular people. I'm gay and Jewish, so I'm in a total...
Wow.
I know, I'm totally make-believe. I don't even know what reality is most days.
Yes, you've got the total package.
Or not. Or have the total crazy package. Okay. So how do you have any idea how many shows, productions, and operas you boys have reviewed either in print or on television, radio? Do you have any idea?
It'd be close to 1,000, I think.
1,000? You're kidding me. 1,000 different ones?
Yes, they're all different ones.
Right, they're all different.
A couple of the operas we've done 2 and 3 times, but different productions.
Different productions. I meant different productions. I didn't mean different.
Yeah, 1,000 different productions. We're just about to see our 250th opera.
Are you just like totally... How do you get yourself... And then you can ask Lionel to come on and or both of you can answer this question. After 250 operas, 1,000 productions, how do you sit down, you know, the curtain's ready to go up, you take a breath, how do you feel? I mean, is it like another boring, you know, another 2.5 hours here? I mean, how do you stay fresh? How do you stay fresh?
Well, all the different productions are different, which is fantastic. If they're all the same, it would be boring, but the music's different, the acting's different, the singing's different in different languages.
Oh, that's right.
And there's a huge variety of different types of designs.
Uh-huh.
Some can be Art Deco, some can be like the 1950s, some of them can be set back in the 1800s, some of them can be set back in the Inquisition.
Uh-huh.
It's like going all the way through history back and forth. Actually, some of them are even set in ancient Greece.
Oh, right, sure. And the ones that are like in Spain and in Egypt and, you know, in Italy and, you know, Germany and all those other places, of course. But so you're just kind of like going around the world. But it still, to me, would be, seem like, you know, I mean, I have a friend who's a restaurant reviewer, and she honestly has trouble. She has to take like 3 months off sometimes because she's just bored eating out fabulous meals, you know, every night or 2 nights a week. And I would love it, but, you know, I mean, she just says, you know, she just wants to eat like a cheeseburger out of a piece of paper and not have to go through these courses and talk about sauces and, you know, to get into intricacies. But it's like just different because opera, as you said in the opening, appeals to all the senses. It's visual. It's auditory. It's got history. It has drama. It has language. So maybe that's what's keeping it interesting. That it's so multifaceted. Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, what is, this is for both of you now, favorite opera of all time?
Probably The Flying Dutchman by Wagner.
That's really
incredible.
Uh-huh.
I saw a concert version of it at Hamer Hall. They had a 112-piece orchestra.
And oh, my God.
And it sounded like a crashing ocean. It was just like...
Oh, my God,
yeah. The sound was absolutely unbelievable. It was just like...
Oh, my God.
It was incredible. And then they had, I think it was 5 choirs.
Oh, you're kidding.
Two at the side, one at the back. And one at the back of the stalls as well. Actually, 4 choirs. And they had this Wagnerian soprano to come in on a 22-hour flight to fill in for somebody else. She'd only been in Melbourne for 2 hours, and then she had to go on stage and sing this epic. And her voice actually went over the top of this the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Oh,
and the Melbourne
God.
Symphony Orchestra weren't playing softly. They were playing full bore, and she sang over the top of them.
Yes.
It was the most incredible thing you've ever seen without amplification. I don't know how Wagnerian sopranos can do that, but...
I know.
Yeah.
Now, what is it that...
Music of the gods.
Music of the gods, literally. That's, I think that's what he called himself. So what's a Wagnerian soprano? What makes her different than another one? Is there a different range? Are there different tempos? What is the difference? You mentioned Wagnerian...
They're very experienced sopranos, and they've got really strong voices. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not even quite sure how they can sing over the top of an orchestra. That's that large and that loud.
So they're very incredible. So the basic tenet you're saying is that they've got a big voice. It's a big voice girl.
Oh, huge voice.
Yeah, huge voice.
They have a huge voice for Wagner.
Yeah, I know. So how do you introduce someone who has never, ever seen an opera but only believes that it's going to be a fat lady in a Viking hat singing? How do you introduce that person to their first opera?
Well, they could probably listen to some opera on... Actually, there's a really good radio station, 1.fm,
uh-huh.
in Otto's Opera Channel.
Oh, that's right.
That's a really great... Introduction to opera.
Right, right. I've seen that one, and I've seen a couple of podcasts on iTunes. And of course, you know, you can in the United States we have Live from the Met here on Saturday afternoons, which is an excellent way. You can just, you know, zoom around in the car and look. That's what I do.
That's another way. Yes, the Met in HD is incredible. We're
uh-huh.
we're just about to see Satagara in, I think it's about a week and a half.
Oh my goodness, that sounds wonderful. Now, I have a picture on the screen. If people are listening to this, there's like a little some flash pictures of the two of you and I think it's the Melbourne Theater, that crazy big thing with the neon. Did I get the right picture up? Is that the Melbourne City Theater? I can't see it because I'm in a different screen. Is that how new is that beautiful building?
Right. Which one? Which
the one that's got all the geometric lights on the outside?
Geometric lights. Oh, are you thinking of Federation Square?
That's right. Correct. Okay. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is that where?
Yeah, that's not a theater. It's actually a building,
uh-huh.
and they've got a large art gallery in there. And
oh, I got the
they
one.
Actually, have got a performance space in there though.
I looked up performance spaces, and I guess so. What is the opera house in Melbourne called? I'm sorry, I got the wrong picture up on your thing. I'll have to change it.
Oh, the one in Melbourne, it would be the Art Centre, and it's got a big spire on the top of it.
The Art Centre. Okay, good. It seems like a huge country like Australia has done pretty well in a very short period of time. Making a stamp on arts and culture, especially in classical arts and culture. Your symphonies, your opera, your ballets are all incredibly high-end. How did a working-class country, which is really how Australia started, get so artsy? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Probably because there's people from about 120 different countries. Yeah. We've got a lot of Italians and we've got a lot of Greeks. And,
right.
And it's fantastic. I mean, the Italians are incredible.
Yeah, they are.
Some of the best music in the world has come, and some of the best art has come out of Italy.
That's correct. That's true. And so it's the diversity. You think it's the diversity of all these people blending together in a very... I mean, you were talking about a pretty short period of time. I mean, you know, I don't think... you know, as far as a country or a civilization, as far as in the arts, we're not talking about 300 years like we are in Europe.
That's right. Well, Australia's a very young country, just like
sure.
America.
Correct.
America's only been a country for about 230 years, haven't they?
Right, but we just copycat. I mean, we're nothing really very original productions come out of here. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, the real cutting edge stuff is produced elsewhere and then copied and brought here. Some of the things you described are either Australian choreographed or produced, or German or Dutch or something in Spain, and then they're brought here. It seems like the creativity in this country, in the U.S., has dropped off. Now, we've got the money to bring it over and copy it, but I just don't see the original creativity here anymore. That's just a personal opinion. I don't know if you see it. Of course, we're seeing the world on opposite hemispheres, so we're not going to see the thing.
I found the new operas from America are quite incredible. The Of Mice and Men, we saw that a couple of weeks ago. I did see
Of Mice and Men. I forgot about that one. I thought that was British.
And a Streetcar I'm pretty sure that was produced in America as well.
Was produced in America. Okay. Okay, good. Well, those were excellent. Those were good. You're right. Okay. I'll take that back. America's okay, fine.
Yes, they've produced about 300 new works in the last 15 years in America, just in opera.
Isn't that amazing? Okay, well, then I must be narrow-minded here, because what I see seems to be copied, but maybe it's because I'm on the East Coast, and maybe I need to move to the West Coast. San Francisco has much better opera than New York, I've heard.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco, some of the stuff that comes out of there is quite incredible.
Yeah.
That Dr. Atomic was a co-production between San Francisco Opera and I think it was English National Opera.
Uh-huh. And, you know, San Francisco is another city that is a blend of many, many cultures and countries. You always think New York is the crossroads of the world. It really has a lot of cultures, but in sheer numbers, you know, that you see that there are French and there are Germans and there are Italians and there are Greeks, and there's a lot of Italians in San Francisco too, like Ghirardelli Chocolate, of course. But San Francisco is a much, much more diverse area than the East Coast. So maybe that's it. I'm trying to think of the key, the fertilizer that causes some of these amazing things to come out. Oh, okay. Listen, I forgot to tell people in the United States, because we had a little late start here. The call-in number to chat with Lionel and Tony or me is 805-830-8355. And unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio only allows call-ins from the inside of the continental United States. Not even Alaska and Hawaii can call in. I know, it's a bummer. So 805-830-8355. So what's next for you two? What's your next expansion? Because you're always your website's full, your archive's full, your YouTube channel I'd love. Tell me what your dreams are. Both of you, you can switch off and please don't think one person has to talk all the time. What is the next step for the Opera Boys?
You've got me back now. Tony's exhausted.
Oh, I know. Did I exhaust him? I can exhaust seven people at once. Okay.
He just handed the phone over and said, "I'm feeling a bit wan."
I told you it would be the fastest 30 minutes of your life. I do a lot of these. And
everything in America seems to be high speed, doesn't it? Not here.
Listen, you've never. If we ever meet, you'll know exactly what I mean. I can, you know.
I used to live in America. You know, I lived in San Francisco, and I lived briefly in New York, and also up in Pennsylvania for a year.
Okay, so you know.
What you guys are like. You're much faster and zappier than we are. We're a bit down south here.
Well, okay. So I'll ask slowly. What are your big plans? I mean, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Because you probably didn't see yourself.
Oh my God.
You didn't see this 5 years ago when you started, or 7 years ago, or 9 years ago. I mean,
No.
But have you ever sat down and say, what's next? Our own satellite channel, our own radio show?
Well,
like
we've been offered a TV show, but we turned that down just because we didn't want just community TV here in Melbourne. But we decided it was too much work. Because after you go to the show, go to the party, and then you've got to get home the next day is gone while you've got to write and chase up the photos.
Right.
So, no, I think in a couple of years, God knows what we'll be doing. But really, at the moment, we're just looking forward to the holiday break here and not doing anything. We're actually turning down more shows than we're going to. We get about 40 invites a week to
shows.
You're kidding. Outrageous.
How many a week?
About 40.
40
invites to shows a week.
40.
Melbourne's a huge theatre city.
That's correct.
It's got a massive theatrical and dance and music population, but also we do fine art stuff as well. So we'll probably focus a bit more on that because my background is I'm actually an artist and designer. So I'm going to do a bit more artwork, and then probably that will lead us into more gallery exhibitions and reviews. And we just did the big Vienna show here at the National Gallery. And then we also did the Salvador Dali show a couple of years back. So we do all those big, you know, and Tutankhamun and all that stuff. So I don't know. We'll just kind of, we just wing it. We just look through the list each day and think, what will we do tomorrow? And as long as we can stay fresh, but it's, you know, 7 years is a long time. And we're probably getting a bit jaded and people are sick of hearing our views on the same thing over and over. So we're not too sure what will happen next.
Okay. I'm still shocked. Over 40 invites a week. That's over 2,000 a year. Am I doing that right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And we get it from all around the world too. We actually review your Met in HD as well. We do your films here.
Right. I saw that
on
your website.
And then we post reviews on them as well. So...
let me clue the listeners in on your website, operaboys.com. It's a very easy...
No, it's got to have the T-H-E on the front, theoperaboys.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at it right now. Theoperaboys.com. Theoperaboys.com.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There is a search engine in there, which we had to put in because we had no idea when we set it up that we'd get end up doing so much.
Right.
So
right.
Inside the archives, there's a button on there called Archives. You can go and then just type the name of a singer or an opera, and it'll take you direct to the page. Otherwise, it's a minefield. There's like 600 shows in there that I can't even find them, without the search engine.
I was going to tell people exactly what you said. I have it written down on a little card. Don't go to that website without going to the archives and doing a search on your favorite thing, or unless you want to go to the YouTube channel or the Met HD channel, because those are a little smaller and a little easier to navigate.
There's some pretty wild stuff on there. Occasionally we sneak a camera in and illegally film an opera, and then the company loves it so much they give us permission to put it up.
Right, they're so funny. We
just shoot that on a little Samsung $110 camera in high definition, and then illegally shoot it, and then we show it to them, and they usually love seeing themselves inside, so they let us put it up. Yeah, we got about 14 movies or something on our YouTube channel as well. Tony does all that. I'm not real good on that stuff.
So how do you think?
He says about 40 shows, yeah.
Okay, about 40 shows. I looked through there. I didn't remember the number. What about the new technology, like the iPads and the iPhones with the little cameras in there? I mean, you're shooting in HD with a handheld thing, but now these little phones have HD and 3D.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely amazed. I've got a full studio with mixers and stuff at home. That I could never have thought I could learn how to use. I'm 62 years old, so I just started this last year. After 11
years...
You're
the same age as me. That's how old I am, 62.
See, I did this for 11 years live, and I'm doing one on Saturday. Authors and performance artists and things like that come to Fort Lauderdale, we have them at the Stonewall Library, and I have been their little MC host there for almost 12 years. And last year... somebody had the bright idea and said, let's put you on the air. And so I did a little training, and so I'm kind of the same way. I'm new to all this technology, but it's fabulous. We have 90 seconds left. Do you believe it, how fast this is going?
Yes.
It always does.
Was Tony okay? He wasn't too nervous chatting there? He's a lot shyer than I am. He's a quiet one.
You know, you both were great. Listen, I want again to tell people to go to your website because that's the portal to get to know you two. You will get to know these two. They do have a fabulous personality. It's theoperaboys.com. Okay, so I've got a minute left to go. Let's say there's two young men who are interested in doing what you're doing in, let's say, the United States or maybe Great Britain. You're actually the only people doing this because I looked.
Yes, we are, yeah.
I mean...
because we don't have to take any advertising. We pay for it ourselves because it doesn't cost as much. Yeah.
Right. Oh, I know. I saw that.
So just go and do it.
Tell me how would you tell them to start?
Well, I said to Tony, we've just met. We met at a gay bar. We had nothing in common. So I said to him, have you been to the opera? I rang the opera company, Opera Australia, when we got home, and they offered us a ticket to the Opera Australia because we never done it.
Okay, good. See, there you go. You've never done it.
That's how we started.
So you're just new to this. Okay, listen, this has been so much fun. I've got to sign off now. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Lionel. TheOperaBoys.com. Good night from Fort Lauderdale. Thank you all.
Cheers.
Cheers.